Hi, and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220 The Word. Hope you'll be able to stick with us. Getting kind of chilly out there tonight. There's frost warnings here south of Cleveland, south of Akron, and actually extending down, heard this evening from a family down in Kentucky that even in northern Kentucky, they've got frost warnings tonight. It's kind of a chilly night, and well, it's that time of year. It's autumn, and we kind of spoiled with such a warm summer this year and a mild winter last year that we may get a cold one this time around, but that's northeastern Ohio. It makes it interesting. And if you're out on the roads, there's some rain in spots driving into the radio stations. They're coming up, hit one spot, and the road was just soaked. So there's showers passing through the area. Careful if you're driving out there. If you're home, stay in, stay warm. And I hope you'll stick with us and maybe give us a call if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to thank you so much again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Father, we just pray that you would bless, Lord, encourage people, help us to be an encouragement through the things that we talk about. Mostly, though, we hope that we can point people to the Lord Jesus Christ through the things that we discuss tonight. And also, Lord, we look at things that are happening in the world today. We pray that rather than be discouraged, rather than be fearful, that we would be encouraged and that we would keep looking up, understanding that we're looking for and waiting for that blessed hope, the soon return of our Lord Jesus Christ to catch us up into heaven to be with him. And of course, eventually to defeat the plans of the devil and usher in the Lord Jesus Christ's millennial reign here on earth. What an exciting time we live in. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, we're going to get in our program here tonight. If you've got a question and you'd like to give us a call, we'd love to hear from you tonight. You can call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air with your questions about the Bible, current events in light of God's Word. And I want to start off here this evening. I was preaching actually this morning, our Sunday morning service. I have been preaching through the book of Revelation, and we were actually in Revelation chapter 14, but I diverted from it actually, and I was preaching in Psalm 83 this morning, and something that we've been talking about off and on here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al on here on 1220, and also we've talked about a little bit on our Friday afternoon program, Live with Pastor Al, that's also here on AM 1220, The Word, Fridays at 1:30 in the afternoon until 2 o'clock, and talking about the prophetic implications of Psalm 83, and then I followed that up this evening at our evening service at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, looking at the prophetic implications of the little book of Obadiah, one of the what we call the minor prophets in the Old Testament. Minor not because they're not that important, minor because they're not as long as, say, Isaiah, Ezekiel, or Jeremiah, and packed with information. And we were discussing how we know the last half of it is yet future. And leading that to talk about a couple things here tonight, if you have been watching the news, of course, there's the thing that seems to be in the news mostly right now a lot of times with the Middle East are these protests against the United States and calling death to America, death to Israel, and all supposedly, according to the White House, at least initially, the White House and the State Department, initially said it was all because of some film that was on YouTube. And as a result of that, our ambassador in Libya was killed, and as well as three other Americans. and a number of riots taking place in Egypt and various countries across the Middle East, and even as far-flung as Australia and London, England. And looking at these types of things happening, and it's all supposedly over this film, despite the fact that the incidents were sparked on the anniversary of September 11, and abundant evidence, including the Libyan government itself, saying that it was Al-Qaeda and that it was planned. It was an orchestrated event, and they seem to have some inside information as to where the ambassador would be and various things. They even had access to rocket-propelled grenades, and then, of course, our ambassador was taken. He was tortured. He was killed, drugged through the streets. And the first thing that our State Department did was to apologize for our freedom of speech that we have in this country. And then, of course, after a period of time, the next day, I believe it was, the president came out. He apologized, essentially, for America's freedom of speech. And trying to say that it's all because of this movie. Well, it wasn't. But yet people are using that as an excuse. It was an anniversary attack because of September 11, and it happened on the 12th anniversary, or the 11th anniversary. And we see these things happening, and they continue happening, and they continue growing and spreading in other countries. And that's what you see in the news. And along with that, there's the call. For instance, the Egyptian President Morsi said that the United States needs to respect Arab sensibilities. In other words, your freedom of speech is getting you in trouble. And then, of course, the Iranian Prime Minister, Ahmadinejad, said in a speech, I think actually it was an interview with CNN that's going to be aired if it hasn't been already, that we need to be careful with our freedom of speech. And you see people across the Muslim world saying that, well, you need to be careful with freedom of speech. And there's this whole movement that's in the United Nations right now to ban saying things that could be construed as derogatory or insulting, or in some way disparaging and disrespecting of somebody's religion. Now, read that, of course, as Islam in particular. And the interesting thing with that is they are not at all hesitant to say disparaging, disrespectful, derogatory things about Christianity and Judaism. And, of course, there's liberal elements in our country that support them in this and would like to see these types of things ratified by our government. And, of course, they don't have problems with taking a crucifix and sticking it in a jar of urine and calling that art. That's not disparaging or disrespectful, apparently, of our religion of Christianity. And also, it's not disrespecting Catholicism to take a picture of the Virgin Mary and put dung all over it, things of that nature, and on and on and on. It's not disrespecting to present Jesus Christ in a movie as a homosexual. None of that is disparaging. That's to be supported. That's to be encouraged. That's art. That's freedom of speech. But if you say the truth about Islam, if you say the truth about Muhammad, then, well, that's hate speech, and that needs to be banned. And so our country's been apologizing left and right over our freedom of speech. And we have a Constitution of the United States of America that in order to get the Constitution passed, an agreement had to be made. And Reverend John Leland, who was actually challenging, I believe it was John Adams, running for Representative Madison. I said Adams, didn't I? It was John Adams, or at Madison, said Adams again. It's John Madison was the father of the Constitution, and he was trying to get it passed, and he was running for the Constitutional Convention, and Leland challenged him. Because a bunch of those those ignorant, backward, fundamentalist Baptists up in the hills of Virginia, as well as elsewhere in the original 13 states, were concerned that we might have a state religion imposed on us, and along with it, restrictions on some of the freedoms that they believe were fought for in the Revolutionary War. And so when Leland and Madison met, they made an agreement. They had a gentleman's agreement. Madison promised that if Leland would lend his support and the support of the Baptists behind him so that he could secure his position, that he would move as soon as the Constitution was passed to add in a Bill of Rights. And that's where Amendment 1 to the Constitution came in. And so John Madison, true to his word, after the Constitution was passed, put in the amendment, and it was voted in and accepted, that says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. That's all one long sentence. And I like the fact that that's one long sentence, because that tells us that just as John Leland and the Baptists knew and stood up for back in the at the time the Constitution was being debated, they understood that without freedom of religion, you would have no free speech. Without freedom of religion, you would have no freedom of the press. Without freedom of religion, you would have no right for the people to peaceably assemble. And without freedom of religion, you really would have no right to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Because if the government decides what you can believe, the government also decides what you can say, what you can print, how and when you can assemble, and whether or not you should be allowed to petition them for redress of grievances. And so freedom of religion was the linchpin there. It was a cornerstone that secured these rights. And quite frankly, there's a movement among liberals and in this country to eliminate some of these freedoms that we treasure. And that's why they support a lot of this move towards Sharia and Islamic law, and also the banning of hate speech towards Islam and things of that nature on the international scale, because they realize that when you can start banning these things, they're indirectly attacking freedom of religion. And if I do not have the freedom to speak freely about what I believe and why I believe it, I don't have freedom of religion. If I don't have the ability to speak freely about other religions and why I reject them as false religions and things of that nature, I don't really have freedom of religion. So freedom of speech goes hand in hand with freedom of religion. Freedom of press goes hand in hand. And then certainly we had the right to assemble peaceably and church services this morning across this country. And that goes hand in hand, of course, with freedom of religion. And if the government says you can't do it, then we have the right to petition the government for the redress of grievances. Because, see, freedom of religion recognizes at its heart that we owe our allegiance and our freedoms and our rights to something greater than government, and that's God. And God was recognized in our founding documents. The Bible was the basis for our form of constitutional form of government. And I celebrate that. And that's one of the reasons we do this program. We even have people on the program that disagree with me from time to time, because you know what? That's their right, freedom of speech. And I support that. And that's why I would oppose any movement to weaken our freedom of speech. And does that artist, so-called, have the right to immerse a crucifix in a jar of urine and call it art? Absolutely, he has the right. Do I have the right to say I don't like it? Absolutely, I have the right to say that. Does the Muslim that lives on the other side of town have the right to believe that Muhammad was a prophet and that Allah is the true God and the Quran is the true holy book and that he should go to the mosque. Absolutely, he has that right. I served in the United States military to help protect that right. But do I have the right to say I believe Muhammad's a false prophet and that Allah is a satanic counterfeit God and that the Quran is a counterfeit scripture and that sort of thing? Absolutely, I have the right. Does that offend somebody? Yeah. And do what they believe offend me from time to time? Absolutely. And we have the right to freedom of speech. We do not have the right to not be offended. I'm reminded of what the at the Democrat convention back a few weeks ago, the Palm Beach down in Florida, I guess it was Palm Beach County Democrat chairman was speaking, and he made a comment because the person he was talking to had a Jews for Obama pin on or something like that. And then he was asked about his support for Obama despite the administration's record with Israel. And amongst other things, he said, I'm Jewish. I'm not a fan of any other religion rather than Judaism. Now, that's fine. That's his opinion. He's entitled to it. I'm a Christian, and I'm really not a fan of any religion other than Christianity, though I do support the Jewish people. God has a plan for them yet. And then he made this statement. He said, the worst possible allies for the Jewish state are the fundamentalist Christians who want Jews to die and convert so they can bring on the second coming of their Lord. And did he have the right to say that? Absolutely. Do I have the right to say that what he said was offensive? Absolutely, because it was offensive. In fact, the first time I ever heard somebody state that fundamentalist Christians such as myself only support Israel and the Jewish people so that they'll all go to Israel where they can be killed or convert to Christ so that Jesus can come quickly and sooner. The first time I heard that was a Jew calling into a talk show program hosted by another Jew. I never heard that. I've been a fundamentalist Christian, a Bible-believing Baptist for quite a few years, decades, and I've never heard anybody say that. And so that's something that's manufactured about by our critics. So we have the right to say such things, but we have the right to respond. Well, speaking of the right to respond, the right to free speech, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. And we have John in Cleveland, I believe, waiting. And John, are you there?
Yes, hi. How are you
doing? Hi, good evening. Welcome.
Thank you. I don't get YouTube. I was wondering if you could tell us exactly what was on that film.
Well, you know, I guess there's at least two clips or something out there, and I saw a portion of one clip, and to be perfectly honest, if you've ever been to a grade school, you know, play,
yeah,
you know, where they get all the little kids together and the teachers are standing on the sides coaching them on their lines, you probably saw better acting than what I saw in that little 2 minutes or so I saw on YouTube. I don't think I could have taken much more than 2 minutes. It was pretty poorly done. But my understanding is that the overall, what they pointed out did they exaggerate some of it? I don't really know. I didn't see all of it. But they did point out in there that Muhammad, they pointed out they called him a womanizer, which he was. You know, he established a religion which limits all the male followers in it to four wives. But the prophet got to have an unlimited number of wives, and there were even some women that he took for his wives that were going to be married to somebody else, and he said, nope, it's Allah's will. So he did seem to be a bit of a womanizer. And then the other accusation is that he was a pedophile. Well, his favorite wife, I believe it was Aisha, he married her when she was a child, and he consummated his marriage with her when she was, I believe, about 9 years old. And, I don't know what you consider a pedophile in your book, but I think somebody who has an interest in pre-adolescent young girls would qualify as a pedophile. And that's all history. That's not made up. That's not invented by critics of Islam. That's in Islamic works. You can find that. That's established history. And certainly, he was a warmonger. After he was kicked out of Medina and went to Mecca, he embraced the sword, and he was a bloodthirsty warrior. He was a warlord is what he was, and he used the sword to enforce Islam and to spread Islam, and he was so successful that it spread rapidly. But when he died, a lot of people said, well, Muhammad's gone. We're going back to what we used to believe. And there was a series of wars immediately after his death where those that stayed with Islam took the sword to those that were apostatizing in their view and in order to bring them back and things of that nature. He also invented a religion that has the doctrine of taqiyya or the practice of taqiyya in it. And taqiyya basically means it's permissible to lie if it'll further the cause of Islam and that sort of thing. So they took some things that were basically true and in a very poorly done fashion, brought them out.
That sounds like it could be true of just about any religion.
Well, I'm sure there are some religions out there that may have similar elements to them, and that's one of the reasons why I don't follow those religions. That's one of the reasons I'm a born-again Christian following, the Bible, because I don't want to follow a religion that was started by a womanizer, a pedophile, and a warmonger. But regardless of that, I want something that's going to tell me about heaven and warn me about hell and tell me what I need to do to have forgiveness of sins so that I can have the right relationship with God, something that answers my questions about where I came from, God created me, why I exist, to glorify God, to enter into a relationship with Him that pleases Him by confessing my sin and trusting Him as my Savior and allowing Him to guide and direct my life so that I can lead a life that's pleasing to Him. And then I can share my faith with others, one of the reasons we do the program. It also tells me where I'm going. I'm going to heaven. I have no doubt about that. And a lot of religions people hope for, they try and hold out and think that maybe if I do enough good in this life, maybe I'll get something better in the next life. Maybe I'll be reincarnated in a better condition in the next life or whatever. No, Bible says if you trust Christ as your Savior and you trust that what He did on the cross is He shed His blood to pay for our sins is sufficient to forgive us of our sins and that there is nothing that we can do, there's no church that we can join that can do that for us. And when we come to Christ by faith, God saves us and He gives us a home in heaven for all eternity. And I like that. I like the fact that God told me about that in His Word. And, that's why I like to be able to share that message with others. That's why we pray for people. That's why actually we prayed for you, John, in our church tonight by name, that you would trust Christ as your Savior one day and be able to have the forgiveness of sin and the assurance that you're on your way to heaven and to know what it's like to have the Holy Spirit in your heart and guiding you and directing you. And that's what we pray for all our listeners, that people get saved.
Well, I was asking the program ahead of you, if they had sin, do you feel that you have any sin?
I really don't know what was going on in the program ahead of me, but do I have sin? Yes, absolutely. I have a sin nature. Everybody listening right now, including you, have a sin nature, and we have a sin nature because when I trusted Christ as my Savior, let me back up a minute, we have a sin nature because we're the descendants of Adam. And by one man, the Bible says, sin came into the world. That's when Adam sinned and disobeyed God. And so all of Adam's descendants have a sin nature. That's one of the reasons we need a Savior. We don't do a sufficient number of sins to become a sinner. We sin because we're sinners.
We're not descendants of Adam anymore, are we?
Oh, yes, we are.
Who
are you descended from?
Jesus Christ.
Is Jesus your genealogical forefather?
No, he's my spiritual father.
Well, he's not. You're physically descended from Adam. That's what I'm talking about.
It doesn't matter, though.
No. You have a sin nature. When you trust Christ as your Savior, you're saved. Your old dead spirit is born again, made new. You become a new creature in Christ, but a born-again Christian still has an old body of flesh with a sin nature.
But it doesn't matter.
And until the rapture takes place, until we go to be with the Lord, that body with that sin nature, we're stuck with it. when we leave this world, the Bible says when Jesus catches us up into heaven, we'll be changed. This mortal puts on immortality in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This old sinful nature will be gone. We'll have a new body with no sin nature, and we won't be plagued with the sin nature that even the Apostle Paul lamented his sin nature in Romans 7, I believe it was, when he said he did the things that he knew that he shouldn't do and didn't do the things that he should do because of the sin that was in him in his flesh. And that's where the sin nature is. If you're not a physical descendant of Adam, I really don't know where you came from. But every man, woman, and child on the planet Earth that has ever lived, with the exception of Adam and Eve, with the exception of Adam, is a physical descendant of Adam. And so as a consequence, we have a sin nature. Jesus came into the world and shed his blood on the cross so that we can come to him for forgiveness of sin, because our sin nature need to be dealt with. What's that?
You're saying that you have to wait till heaven
to get rid of the sin nature,
yeah.
But you're delivered and forgiven of your sin the moment you trust Christ as your Savior. We're coming up on the break there.
I'll keep praying for you then.
Yeah, well, but anyway, I'll keep praying that you recognize that we have a sin nature. We need to trust Christ as our Savior. When we do so, we're forgiven of our sin. We're not delivered from the presence of our sin nature until we're separated from this body. Well, stay tuned. We got another half hour. If you're on hold, stay with us, and we'll pick you up in the next half of our program. We'll be with you until midnight tonight here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 Cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show.
All
And welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al here on AM 1220, The Word, and hope you'll be able to stick with us until midnight tonight. And if you've got a question about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call toll-free by calling 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air. And, of course, we're brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, where I'm the pastor. More about that at the end of the program. And also brought to you by Frank's Antiques in North Royalton. Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is located at 6668 Royalton Road. That's State Route 82 in the center of North Royalton. And you can find Frank's Antiques in North Royalton open on Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday from noon until 5:30 p.m., and if you'd like to give him a call, you can call Frank at Frank's Antiques in North Royalton by calling 440-237-4393. That's 440-237-4393. And let Frank at Frank's Antiques in North Royalton know that you heard about him right here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we welcome your call, 888-677-9673. And we have Olivia in Canton who has patiently been holding. And Olivia, are you there? Hello, do we have Olivia? All right. Well, if Olivia is listening and you want to try and call back in, I think we lost your call there. Sorry about that. But if you've got a question about the Bible or current events, we certainly have the switchboard open, 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the air talking about a variety of things. And there toward the end of the last half, talking about salvation and deliverance from sin. And yeah, it's something we understand that we have a sin nature because, as we said, by one man's sin, or by Adam's sin, sin entered into the world and death by sin. And Jesus Christ, of course, the Bible describes as a second Adam who came in to make a way to deliver us from our sin. And through him, we have salvation. But, you know, it's a multi-part thing, if you think about it. When we trust Christ as our Savior immediately, without waiting, without hesitation, immediately our sins are forgiven. And that's a wonderful thing because the Bible says, in fact, I thought about this. I should have thought that and turned here over Romans chapter 3. Now, let me show you what happens here in Romans chapter 3 immediately when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. There's a miraculous event that takes place. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3 that in verse 21 and 22 here, it says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets." Now notice here in verse 22, "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference." What he's telling us there is that the moment that we put our faith in Christ, the moment we believe in Jesus, believe on him as our Savior, the Bible says the very righteousness of God is placed on us. If you're familiar with the story of the prodigal son, when he returned home, his father told them to go bring his best robe, and he put a robe around his shoulders. And if you go to a wedding, the bride and the groom dress in the best things that they can wear, and they want to look beautiful when they're standing up in front of people. Well, that's a picture also, the garments of salvation that Jesus Christ puts on us at the moment that we trust Christ as our Savior. God himself places his righteousness. It's not our righteousness. Earlier in Romans chapter 3, it says, there's none righteous, no, not one. In fact, Isaiah said, our righteousness is as filthy rags. And when we trust Christ as our Savior, the righteousness of God is cloaked over us. But you know what? The body is still the same. The body still has a sin nature, and that's why Paul said you have to crucify the flesh daily. You had to reckon yourself dead to the flesh on a daily basis, lest the flesh take advantage and lead us into sin. And so I'm glad that one day we'll be delivered from the bondage of this flesh, the sin nature that we live with, and we'll have a new body in heaven. Well, we've got several people calling in here. and we will get to our switchboard here. Is Olivia back with us? Oh, not got Olivia back. We've got Barb in Cleveland then, I believe. So we'll take Barb next. And Barb, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
No, I'm in West Virginia.
Oh, you're in West Virginia. Okay. Well, but half of Cleveland is from West Virginia. So. So.
I'm here. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
Hey, I've got a question for you, a really burning question.
Yes, ma'am.
We've been discussing the Libya thing that's going on.
Uh-huh.
Some of my friends on Facebook, and they were kind of upset about it. And I said, "Well, you do know Jesus is coming."
That's right.
But my other friend said, "Yes, but," and I said, "Okay, I'm going to ask Pastor Al."
All right.
Because he knows the answer.
Well, we'll make a guess if nothing else, huh? try to have some sensible.
He cannot come until the temple is rebuilt. Is this true?
No, absolutely not. Well, wait. Let me back up and rephrase my answer. The second coming of Christ is in two parts, just like the first coming was. Remember when Jesus came the first time? We celebrated Christmas, the birth of Christ. And really, not very many people were aware of that. You know, it was revealed to some of the shepherds and things of that nature. But the first phase of the first coming of Christ, he came as a little baby laid in a manger in Bethlehem. And the world did not notice it that much at the time. But when he entered into his earthly ministry, the whole world took note of it. It shook the entire world. And so there's a two phases, kind of the private and the public phase of it, or you could say the secret and the open phase of it, I suppose, as well. The second coming is the same way. The first phase, Jesus does not come entirely to the earth. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 talks about him coming in the clouds, in the air, and we're caught up in the clouds to be with him. The second phase of the second coming is the public or open phase, and that time Zechariah chapter 14 describes how Jesus comes and sets foot on the Mount of Olives, which splits in half, and the whole world sees him. Revelation 19 describes that too, right? And so the first phase of it, which we call oftentimes the rapture, the catching away of the believers when we're caught up to meet the Lord in the air. That's what's discussed in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, as well as 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. What happens, what needs to happen before that was only for Jesus to ascend up into heaven.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing that is waiting before that can take place. But once that happens, after that happens, whether the next day or the next year, we don't know, the Antichrist will be revealed when he signs a seven-year treaty, peace treaty probably with Israel, and brings peace to the region. And that starts the prophetic countdown of the tribulation period. And at the end of the tribulation period, Jesus comes back and every eye sees him. And in Zechariah chapter 14, the Bible says he literally sets foot on the Mount of Olives, which splits in half. And just interestingly enough, there is a fault that lies under the Mount of Olives that would cause the mountain to split in half. Geologists have said that in exactly the way Zechariah prophesied that it would. Same directions and everything that Zechariah says. And then Jesus will ascend from there into heaven. This evening at our church service at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, where I'm the pastor, when we were looking at Obadiah, I suggested that the last verse in Obadiah, where it talks about saviors coming into Mount Zion, I suggested that that's when Jesus, who is the Savior with a capital S, comes in. Maybe that's a reference because then the Lord is going to reign, his kingdom's going to be set up on earth. Maybe that's a reference to the second coming of Christ, the second phase when he enters into the Temple Mount, which is Mount Zion, and we, the believers that are accompanying him, Revelation chapter 19 talks about Jesus coming on a white horse And then the armies of heaven, the saints of heaven accompanying him on horses behind him, and will follow him up onto the Temple Mount. And I think that's what he's talking about when he said saviors with a little S, because we're going to be saviors not in the sense of saviors from sin and from hell, but saviors in the sense that we're the army that follows Jesus when he delivers them from the Antichrist. And the Antichrist, of course, will be thrown into the lake of fire along with the false prophet. It says that in Revelation 19, and the devil will be bound in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years.
Right,
and then he'll set up a 1,000-year reign of Christ on this earth, the kingdom of Christ. And for that to happen, for the second phase of the second coming to happen, the temple has to be rebuilt, because at the midpoint of that 7-year treaty, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 talks about the man of sin, the son of perdition, which is the Antichrist, going into the rebuilt temple, and he causes the oblations and sacrifices to cease, and he sits himself on, I think he'll sit on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant, and declare himself to be God and demand that people worship him as God. And
okay,
Revelation...
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, so the temple has to be rebuilt for that.
But what about the army surrounding Israel? What?
The army surrounding Israel? There's several.
Well, I know that I'm thinking that Israel will have to be destroyed, right?
No, Israel will never be destroyed. God will miraculously deliver them. We have seen,
that's what my husband said.
Yeah, right now, in fact, there are armies massing around Israel right now. Egypt is massing forces in the Sinai Peninsula, and I just read something earlier this evening where they're talking about greater military ties and intelligence ties and stuff, I believe, with Iran. Morsi, the president of Egypt, had just been up there meeting with the Iranian leaders discussing things of that nature just recently. And then Hamas, who currently is in charge of the Gaza Strip, which would be where the land of the Philistines was in the Bible times, they have entered into a military agreement with Iran that they would attack Israel if Iran's attacked. And, of course, as we're sitting here talking over the air, over the radio right now, Iran is shipping troops into Syria right now. Iranian troops are traveling in civilian jetliners trying to sneak them in, so to speak. And there's civilian jetliners loaded with military troops. There's tens of thousands of Iranian military troops in Syria right now. So these things are happening as we speak, and Israel is being surrounded by armies.
I'm worried about what's going to happen on that issue.
Well, God has miraculously delivered Israel. When they declared their sovereignty in 1948, the Arab nations immediately attacked, outnumbered, outgunned, and basically abandoned by most of the world. God miraculously defeated the enemies of Israel in 1948. Then, of course, the Six-Day War. God miraculously defeated the enemies of Israel, and they gained the Sinai Peninsula, the West Bank. It was regained back from the Jordanians and the things of that nature. Of course, they later gave the Sinai back to Egypt under the Camp David Accords. 1973, I think, is the Yom Kippur War. I might get my date wrong on that. But again, outnumbered, outgunned, and everything, God miraculously intervened. There's coming a time, I believe, we could be seeing the stage set for a war that is going to seriously damage Israel, but bring about the destruction, the complete destruction of Egypt, Jordan, Syria, and Lebanon, as well as Iraq and Syria.
What good would the land be if they drop a nuclear bomb? Then the land wouldn't be worth anything to anyone.
Well, that's why there's portions of what is Iraq today, Jordan today, and also Egypt, that people are not going to be going there. Nobody will go there. Nobody will live there. Nobody will stay there. In fact, Egypt will be abandoned for 40 years, the Bible says. But when you look at the Ezekiel 38 battle, which is yet another battle where they move against Israel, they don't come in from the south or the east. They only come in from the one direction in the north that apparently hasn't been nuked.
and they come in led by Russia and a confederation with Russia and Iran and other places. And okay. God, and you read Ezekiel 38 and 39, God intervenes and miraculously defeats Israel's enemies. And then, of course, at the end of the tribulation, when it looks like the forces of the Antichrist are about to destroy the last of Israel, Jesus Christ himself comes back, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and defeats Israel's enemies and delivers them and sets up the kingdom on earth for 1,000 years. And so it's exciting times we're living in, exciting things coming. We ought not to be discouraged.
Well, we read the back of the book, didn't we?
That's right. Jesus wins.
But you can talk on this, and I'll just sit here and listen to you.
Well, I appreciate that, and maybe next week we'll talk about it some more. I do have another caller I see coming in.
I've got a lot of scriptures written down, and you know, I'm going to keep listening in and see if I can, you know, I know enough, but I just don't know all that I want to know.
And I'm always learning. And the moment somebody says that they know it all, that's somebody to watch out for, because none of us know it all. When we get to heaven, we'll be astounded at things we didn't understand, that thought we did. But I'm trying to put some of this stuff on our website Late Night Live. That's what is our website. BBC.MapleKnoll.us is our church website, and Late Night Live. MapleKnoll.us is our radio program website, and I'm putting some of this stuff on there, talk about some of the things that we said if somebody's interested in following up on that. But appreciate your call, and I think next I've got we have another Barb, I believe, coming up next. And do we have our next caller there?
Hello?
We have another caller named Barb.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, welcome. I had two Barbs on the name on the board, and I wasn't sure if I had the right one. So go ahead.
Yeah. Hi.
Hi. Welcome.
Good evening, Pastor Al. I wanted to know, you know, that incident that happened over there in Egypt, and
yes,
the American ambassador was killed, along
right.
with three others.
That was in Libya. Yeah.
Right. Uh huh. Uh-huh. And it seemed like to me. That would be an act of war, wouldn't it?
Oh, absolutely, under normal circumstances. Kill an ambassador of another country, it really is a very, very bad thing, because the whole system of diplomacy and respect for each other's ambassadors, even in the time of war, once you start attacking that system, the ability for countries to make overtures to each other, it all falls apart.
Uh-huh. And see, with the Muslim Brotherhood and
right.
Obama being real close, I just wondered if that's probably why he's not, you know.
Well, you know, he did speak in Egypt several years ago and say he understands them, and he was raised as a Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
And despite whether or not he identifies himself as a Muslim today, to the best of my knowledge, he has never renounced being a Muslim. And his pastor, Jeremiah Wright, in an interview, was asked if he baptized President Obama as a Christian. And he said, I couldn't say that. His own pastors couldn't say that he was a Christian.
Uh-huh.
And I know under Islamic law, if your father is a Muslim, you are automatically a Muslim. And he was enrolled in a private school in Indonesia as a Muslim student by his stepfather, who was a Muslim. So, you know,
he does seem to favor them.
Yes?
We're just like infidels to them. They can look at us and tell a lie, right?
Well, and that's just it. The Islam divides the world into the House of Islam and the House of War. Islam is at war with the rest of the world, whether the world chooses to acknowledge that or not. Yeah, I appreciate you bringing that up tonight. And if you don't mind, I'm going to try and catch a couple more people here because we're running out of time on the program. But I hope you'll call back again. Maybe we can talk about this some more next week as well. But I appreciate that call, Barb. And we've got Neil in Cleveland up next as well. And hello, Neil.
Hi, good evening.
Hi, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
I just noticed now that there's certain parallels or similarities between Islam as a man-made religion and Scientology, and the way they defend themselves.
That's kind of interesting, yeah, because Scientology tends to vilify and attack anybody that dares to voice criticism, don't they?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, in the same way that it's pretty clear that, you know, Hubbard came up with it.
Right. And for our listeners,
it.
Hubbard was a science fiction writer, and I, in the past, read some of his books, and I'm still not sure whether he invented Scientology to spread his books or he wrote his books to spread Scientology. So,
well, to a certain extent, it doesn't matter. But
true.
Indirectly, it's for personal gain of him and now the
Absolutely.
Other people who follow it.
Right.
Well,
in fact, there's a movie out about Scientology right now, and they're doing everything they can to shut it down.
Yeah, well, and you know, Islam, Muhammad, definitely he gained from it personally quite a bit.
Oh, absolutely.
And there's a lot of, you know, high-level followers who also gain personally.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's all I wanted to say. You have a great night.
All right, I appreciate that. Thank you for the call. And, of course, you've been listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And, you know, a lot going on in the world right now. And I certainly encourage you to keep an eye on what's happening in the Middle East. And you're unfortunately not going to find much. If you're dependent on CNN, let's just face it, you're not going to find much at all. If you're dependent on ABC, NBC, MSNBC, CBS, you're not going to find much there either. Even Fox News has been kind of weak on some of this. But I would encourage you, go on, and if you got access to the internet, go on, look at the Jerusalem Post online or the Debka file online. Find out some of this is sources that are in the Middle East. And a great source that you could go to is jihadwatch.org. That's jihadwatch.org. If you can't think of the other ones, go to that one. Or even the Drudge Report online. You'll find links to a number of these stories. Certainly the Debka file. That's Debka, DEBKA.com. That's DEBKA.com. In fact, their headline right now is Hamas signs binding military commitment to Iran-led war on Israel. And that's the sort of stuff they're covering. You can almost see hourly updates. Things are heating up. There's, contrary to what most people realize, because a lot of the media is not covering this, there's over 25 nations that have naval forces in the Persian Gulf region right now conducting exercises. And when the exercise is over, they're not leaving because they fully expect a war to break out imminently. Israel has been wrapping up some of the largest war game exercises in their history, and they're suggesting that many of the troops that they mobilized in reserve forces are not going to be sent back home. They're going to keep them on station, in particular in northern Israel and places like that. We see all these things happening, and yet at the same time, don't be discouraged. We have the blessed hope of the soon coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you know Christ as your Savior, this ought to encourage you to know that one of these days soon, we're going to hear that trumpet sound. We're going to be caught up to meet him in the air. You say, well, people have said that in the past. They said that numerous times. Yeah, they have. But one of these times it's going to happen. And several times that things have been up, heating up and then cooled down, backed off a little bit. Wasn't God's perfect timing. But one of these days that trumpet's going to sound. We're going to be caught up. And could it be this year? Could it be this week? Could it be this month? Don't know. But one of these times the Lord is coming back for us. And you need to be prepared. Trust Christ as your Savior if you haven't already. And visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. Good night. God bless. Join us again next week for another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoll.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoll.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 7 p.m. Join Pastor Al Davis again for more Late Night Live conversation next Sunday at 11 p.m. on Late Night Live with Pastor Al on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.